What up, everybody? You're now tuned into the True Definition of a Sports Fanatic. It's your boy, Brandon Lampley, your host, back at it again. NBA season is here, people. LeBron James is back in full flex mode. Well, he didn't do much flexing last night because the Lakers lost to the Clippers, and he wasn't that great. You know, it wasn't his best game, but he wasn't god-awful. Anthony Davis is who we thought he was. The Clippers look good, even without Paul George, man. They look good. Of course, Kawhi is just so silky smooth. They had a stretch. I think it was a stretch in the second quarter where Kawhi scored 7 straight buckets and put up 20 in the first half of the game, and did it with, it looked like, minimal effort. Man, then their role players, from Harkless to Patrick Beverley to Lou Williams, man, you name it, dudes are good, man. So that the Lakers and Clippers playoff series, and hopefully they meet in the conference finals, in the Western Conference Finals, that series is going to go 7 games. And it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight, man. It is. And it doesn't matter who gets a home court advantage because they play in the same building. So, but, yeah, I watched that, man. And, shoot, I'm on the East Coast, so it didn't go off until, like, 1 o'clock in the morning. So I stayed up for that. Got to watch a little bit of the early game. It was Toronto and New Orleans. Wasn't very interested in that game because, hey, Kawhi's gone from Toronto. And Zion is hurt. Now, if Zion had a played, that would have been different. But, you know, he's out 6 to 8 weeks on his torn meniscus. And you get a chance to see Pascal Siakam, who, of course, is the future of Toronto. And he's got his money now. And his team, I don't know if he's quite ready to lead just yet. That's why you still have Kyle Lowry there. But side note on Kyle Lowry. Now, I've given Kyle Lowry a lot of crap. I have. But there's only one Kyle Lowry I've given crap. Because there's two different Kyle Lowrys, if you didn't know. Just look it up. It's two different people. Look on Wikipedia. It should be a split page for the two different Kyle Lowrys. There's regular season Kyle Lowry, and there's playoff Kyle Lowry. Regular season Kyle Lowry is a Hall of Famer, one of the best players probably in Toronto basketball history. Then there's playoff Kyle Lowry. And playoff Kyle Lowry is butt cheeks. I mean, before this past year, that's what he was. He had his moments. Last playoffs, he had his moments where he'll have a down game, but he never folded like he did in past years, especially the last, I'll say, the last 5 years when they faced Cleveland and LeBron. Like, oh, my God. Just him and DeMar DeRozan. Seemingly, DeMar played better, but both of them just seemingly just packed it in, man. They had the top record in the conference. They had the top offensive efficiency, top defense, top this and top that. And LeBron and Cleveland just come through and wreck the whole thing. So, building castles on sand, LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers were bullies and came and knocked over the sand pile, man. It's just what it was. But I digress. Kyle Lowry looked good last night as well. Now, Toronto and New Orleans end up going in overtime with Siakam and Freddie Van Fleet dropping 34 points. And of course, Kyle Lowry had 22. And pretty much an entertaining game, especially once they went to overtime. And so I only watched the last couple minutes of that game. But basketball is back. And, you know, I have a true love for football. And basketball, these last couple of years, basketball has been creeping in there. But I've always been a basketball lover, and I watched it, just not as much as football. But back to LeBron and the Lakers real quick. Now, they have a 10-point loss to the Clippers, of course. But the Clippers played well. I mean, that's basically that should be the only narrative of that game. Not any excuses for LA, because for LA, it's going to take time. It's going to take time for LeBron and Anthony Davis to gel, and for them to, you know, get the role players, get the right rotation going. So it's going to take time. And even with LA, with the Clippers, they got to work in Paul George, because shoot, they look good. They look like a playoff caliber team last night without Paul George. You add Paul George to the mix, and they look like a title. I'm sure they're going to look like a title team. Same with the Lakers. They flashed some title contender last night, but you can tell they still need that third kind of scorer and creator. That's where Kyle Kuzma is going to come in, who is hurt at the moment. Say he should be back maybe January. And so, hey, get Kyle Kuzma back in here. Paul George come back to the Clippers. And I think it's really a two-team race for the NBA title. And just both of them happen to be in the West. Now, I do think Philadelphia 76ers and the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, I do think the Philadelphia 76ers and the Milwaukee Bucks will vie for who comes out of the East. But no matter who it is, they're going to lose to whoever wins out of the Clippers and the Lakers. Man, that's just my opinion. But let's move on to football. And I have to mention and talk about him just a little bit. I pretty much spent the whole show on him, you know, last time, my last show on him, episode 19. This is Jalen Ramsey. Now, Jalen did a sit down with Ryan Clark, and he talked about, you know, his issues and his grievances and things that, you know, just issues he had with the Jaguars and what led to him wanting to leave there. And he pretty much said what I've said and what some people have been saying who do not deny the elephant that's in the room, which is Tom Coughlin. And he never mentions Tom Coughlin by name, but it's Tom Coughlin. Because it's not Shad Khan, it's not Tony Khan, it's not Doug Marrone, it's not Todd Wash. He doesn't mention Dave Caldwell's name. It's Tom Coughlin. And wouldn't you know, it all started in the offseason when you had voluntary workouts. And Tom Coughlin took it upon himself to blast Jalen Ramsey and Telvin Smith. Now, Telvin Smith, who wasn't coming back anyway, so I'm sure, you know, he didn't like it, but he was like, hey, I ain't going to be there no way, old man. You can talk all you want to. But you knew where Jalen was going to be. He already told you what was going on and how he had mapped out his offseason. So you knew. Then you say you're trying to get in contact with him. You call him. Nobody can get a hold of him, and you're trying to call him. Come to find out, you guys had the wrong phone number. How in the world do you not have your star player's phone number? It makes no sense. I want my star player's phone number. I want his wife or girlfriend's phone number. I want his side chick phone number. I want his kids' phone numbers. I want his mama phone number, daddy phone number, auntie, uncle, Pookie, Ray Ray, Tyrone, and Jamal. I want all their numbers. Because if I can't get through on his number, I'm calling everybody till I get them. But Jaguars never came out and said, oh, we had the wrong number. That's why we couldn't get in contact with him. So like Jalen said, you basically made me out to be a bum. And they did. Now, fast forward to the incident on the sideline with Doug Marrone. You know, he said him and Doug had that back and forth, but they squashed it. It was done. Over. Finito. And then Tom Coughlin comes behind Doug to basically discipline Jalen and tell him, you know, lecture him. He said he pulled him into a little small room. It was Tom Coughlin and like three people who are not named, but we know Tom Coughlin was in the meeting. Tom Coughlin was doing all the talking. Jalen said he never spoke. He just let him talk. And he said things that if they were in another space with just them, he would have never said those things. Yeah, because when you got your boys behind you, you feel a little more confident. You do. I believe everything Jalen said. No reason to lie about it. And this is only Jalen's side. But until Tom Coughlin speaks, we won't know anything. Dude, John Elway just traded Emmanuel Sanders to the 49ers. He talked about it. Wow. Amazing. An executive vice president speaking on football matters and football moves that he made. It's a wild concept. But man, just listening to that, it just made me mad all over again, man. It really did. It really did. And I like what Rex Ryan said. He said, this young man felt disrespected. So you know what? Yeah, my back does hurt. And then get me out of here. My back's hurt, and it's going to hurt until you get me out of here. And I'm with it. Then Randy Moss says the most important, well, he said two very important things on the panel when they were talking about Jalen's interview. Jalen mentioned that because Doug didn't challenge the play, he felt like they didn't trust him. He said, you asked me to go out and do the toughest task on the field week in and week out, which is erasing the opponent's number one receiver. And I see something, I see the ball hit the ground, and you don't trust me. Now, you throw the flag, and we challenge the play, and it doesn't get overturned, and we lose the timeout. He said, I come to Doug, I say, my bad. But for you to not do it lets me know you don't trust me. And Randy Moss said it. He's like, being a star player, he said that when an organization doesn't trust you, that's an issue. That's a big issue. And then also, Randy Moss said what I've always said. But from the organization, and I would say Tom Coughlin himself, and probably a good percentage of the fans, they never really liked that young man. They didn't. They tolerated him. You could tell. For whatever reason, they didn't like him, and they just tolerated him. But it all comes out, don't it? It does. It all comes out eventually. You can't hide stuff alone. I like what Jalen posted on his Instagram. I like what Jalen said on his Instagram. And it's a shot. He said, when you finish talking bad about me, don't forget to tell them the good I did for you. Yeah, don't leave that part out. There's so many people, and people who supposedly football people, trying to convince themselves that this kid wasn't good. The kid was great. Let it go, people. He's no longer here. He didn't want to be here. It's not because of you. It's because of Tom Coughlin. People take things way too seriously. But on another note, there's something brewing up in New England. I think I briefly spoke about it before. I think it was around the time that Brady signed that contract, the 2-year, $70 million extension, which was a bunch of fluff because there's an out in the contract, an option for them to exercise the contract and to make him a free agent where they don't have to pick up the option. And sure enough, he spoke on the Greg Hill show. And, you know, he sound kind of uncertain about his future. He said he's just taking it day to day. As a matter of fact, one of his direct quotes, he said, I think when you commit to a team for a certain amount of years, you kind of feel like your responsibility is to always fulfill that contract. For me, it's been good because I'm just taking it day by day and I'm enjoying what I have. I don't know what the future holds, and the great part is, for me, football at this point is all borrowed time. I never expected to play 20 years. I'm playing on a great team. It's just been an incredible 20 years of my life to play for Mr. Kraft and Jonathan and the Kraft family and for Coach Belichick, and to have so much success is a dream come true. He also said, one day I'll wake up and feel like that will be enough. When that day comes, I don't know if it will be after this year. I don't know if it will be 5 years from now, but I don't have to determine those things right now either. See, that's kind of a good part where I'm at. So I think just taking advantage of the opportunity that I have this year and do the very best I can do, those decisions come at the more appropriate times. I don't know, man. I don't know if I like that from him. Now, I get it. I mean, he's a man who sees the end coming because Father Time is undefeated. I don't know if I want to hear him talk about that while you're in the middle of an undefeated season. Yeah, because, you know, they always say it. Once you start thinking or talking about retirement, you're retired. So mentally, you're pretty much done mentally. Now, I watched a special on Lawrence Taylor, one of the all-time greats, and he talked about after Bill Parcells left New York, he said he played 3 more years, but he was retired. He said he was done. He mentally, he didn't have it anymore, and he was done. He was just out there. And, of course, that's not the case with Brady. I think Brady has OCD, which I think a lot of great ones do. That will to win and want to strive for greatness. Obsessive compulsive disorder plays a big part in that. But, man, I don't know. I don't know about this quote, man. Now, I did hear Stephen A. Smith talking about this. And Stephen A. Smith, you know, he said that this is no sources or anything he's heard. It's just a feeling. And he doesn't know Belichick. He doesn't know Brady. But he does know Robert Kraft. And he said that he thinks that Brady is tired of playing under Bill Belichick. And he said that, of course, Belichick was ready to move on from Brady. And he was ready to move forward with Jimmy Garoppolo, and he most likely was going to trade Brady to the 49ers. And, you know, Robert Kraft stepped in, and he eventually traded Garoppolo to the 49ers and just gave him away for, like, a second-round pick. But he said you never forget something like that. And he's like, after all I've accomplished, all my titles, my championships, you know, my great legendariness and all of that, I can't I be treated like the great that I am and not just another asset? Because like Stephen A. said, you better believe that Belichick doesn't view Brady the way we view Brady. I'm sure he sees Brady as another player whose time has run its course and it's time to move on. And it sounds cold, but in order he succeeded for so long, and they've been great for so long, is because Belichick knew when to pull the cord on players, whether they were fan favorites or great in their community or just great players on the field, you know, Pro Bowlers, all pros, you name it. He knew that they had an expiration date. And he moved off of many of them right before that expiration date. I mean, look at Nate Solder right now with the Giants. The boy is stealing money in New York. It's ridiculous. But, man, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think this sounds like it's going to be Brady's last year. And I speculated that. I think if you can go back through my podcast, I speculated that this will probably be Brady's last year in New England. Now, this probably won't be his last year playing. This definitely won't be his last year playing. I don't see him retiring. Even if they win the Super Bowl, I don't see him retiring, especially if they're going to let him go. Now, he wins the Super Bowl and retires, they don't have to do it. But if he want to continue to play, I guarantee you he's going to go to him and tell him, okay, I want to continue to play next year. And they're going to be like, you know what? No, we're moving on. And he's going to go play somewhere else. I think this is going to come to a bit of an ugly end. I don't think this is going to end pretty in New England. Because, man, you got two guys, man, who the top of their respective positions all time. And it's going to be a power struggle. And I think Bill Belichick is going to win. Now, of course, I watched a lot of football Sunday, and watch my Jaguars struggle with Cincinnati for three quarters. I swear, if Andy Dalton had not have remembered that he was Andy Dalton in the fourth, in the end of the third, towards the end of the third, and early in the fourth quarter, we would have lost the game. Because before that, he thought he was somebody else. But then, I think he got sacked and got hit in the head. And then he remembered he was Andy Dalton. And then he started throwing interceptions. And we ended up winning the game. But had it not been for that, probably would have lost to the Cincinnati Bengals, man. Come on. But while that game was on, I was switching back and forth because you had the Rams and the Falcons playing on Fox. So I'm flipping in between my Jaguars, and I'm like, man, I got to see what Jalen going to do. I got to see it. I got to see him against Julio. And, man, they destroyed the Falcons. But, man, just watching Jalen coming off of 3 weeks of not playing, he played like 30-something plays, six targets, only three catches given up to Julio. He got one where Julio ran by him, but I could see the hesitation because he thought Julio was going to give him a move, and he didn't. But that was the only play. That was the only highlight from Julio. He basically blanked Julio Jones, and no touchdowns for Julio. And then, oh, man, the forced fumble. Dude, Devontae Freeman coming around the edge carrying the ball like it's a loaf of bread, and Jalen just puts his shoulder pad in his arm and popped the ball out. Now, of course, his teammates couldn't recover, and they allowed Devontae Freeman to recover the fumble. But, man, it was a great play. And I like what Jalen said after the game. He's like, man, he said, had I been in game shape, really at the top of my game, ready to go, it would have been really ugly. And man, going forward, already you can see him starting to change that defense. They say in those 3 days he was there, he got 30% of the playbook down. Eric Weddle was surprised at how much information that Jalen had retained so quickly. But dude, I don't care what you say. Jaguar fans be talking trash to my, why don't you just get your Rams jersey, this and that and the third. No, I'm still support Jalen. You be butthurt. And you go ahead and you keep cheering for that inept front office, whether you can call it that. Because until they get rid of Tom Coughlin and David Caldwell, I'm not excited about anything. But on to other games. Can we stop the Lamar Jackson hate? Can we? Well, you know what? I won't say we. Can y'all stop the Lamar Jackson hate? The boy is good. He's a second-year player who doesn't even have a full 16 games on his belt yet, I don't think. And he's still developing. But you cannot question his talent. You can't. Dude, his wide receivers couldn't catch a cold. And once he realized that, he was like, yo, every single time I see a lane, I'm going to take it. And the Seattle defense couldn't do a thing about it. I think he's first quarterback in NFL history with back-to-back 100-yard rushing games. It's never been done before. And the purest quote came from Bobby Wagner after the game, linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks, Pro Bowler, All-Pro. He said, there's no one like Lamar Jackson. He's unique. Never faced anybody like him. Dude is one of one. And the Seahawks, man, what's going on with that? They just crumpled. And they just don't get beat like that in Seattle. But Baltimore's a good team. And they show you, you contain Russell. It's the same thing the Saints did to Minshew when they came to Jacksonville. They do kind of a mush rush, and you two gap. You don't give him lanes to run. You keep him in the pocket. Don't let him run around and create. And he struggled. See, they Jaguar fans, so ready to jump off a train, they jumping off the Minshew train because he struggled. You got Russell Wilson. He's a Super Bowl winner, Pro Bowler, MVP candidate, and he struggled with it. But that he's great because they're going to adjust. Because teams been trying to do that to him his whole career. It's just the Ravens had a great game plan. But he's going to adjust. And he's going to be better. Then I watched the Eagles, man. Just let me down. Because like, you got to get the Cowboys up out of here, man. And the Eagles just, oh, my God. You could tell they were not up for that game early on in the game. They're just, you know, they were out there just to be out there, man. They were. Because there's no way the Cowboys get beat down by the Jets, who get beat down 33-0 by the Patriots, and then you lose to these same Cowboys like that. It's like 37-10 or something like that, man. It's ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, if I'm the Vikings ownership, I'm finding a way where I could just pay random athletes or random football players to say disparaging things about Kirk Cousins. Because Kirk Cousins is at his best when he's under, seem like, a lot of criticism and he playing angry. Because this Kirk Cousins compared to the Kirk Cousins early in the year, two totally different people. Look like they finally started to get it on track. Obliterated the Lions. They're looking good. Then you had Green Bay destroy the Oakland Raiders. Every time they showed the highlight, somebody was running into the end zone. And then quietly, the Indianapolis Colts, man, are good. They're scrappy. They're really, really scrappy. And you know what? And I'm going to say this. It's not a hot take. And, you know, some people might not agree with it. But I'm going to go ahead and call it now. This is just my opinion. Jacoby Brissett is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think that's going to bear out over time that Jacoby is the superior player. Now, will Jimmy ever be – will he be great? Don't know. Will he be terrible? You know, don't know. Who knows? But I know that Jacoby Brissett is the superior player right now and probably going forward. Because, yeah, 49ers are good. Don't get me wrong, but that defense is great. Jimmy Garoppolo really, really worries me. He does. Really worries me. Oh, man, I cannot forget Saints versus the Bears. Can we just go ahead and stop pretending? Well, some people do. Some people call it like they see it. Mitchell Trubisky is terrible. He's not good, man. They passed on Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson to trade up to take him. You gave up assets to take him. And that boy, he's not good. They call him Blake Bortles North. Or he's Blake Bortles with less moxie. Because, dude, he cannot throw an accurate football to save his life consistently. And I feel bad for Allen Robinson. The two quarterbacks he's had thrown to him majority of his career is Blake Bortles and Blake Bortles North, which is Mitchell Trubisky. Imagine if he had a middle-of-the-road quarterback. Not even an elite guy. Not even a top 10 guy. Middle of the road. Allen would put up insane numbers because he's a great wide receiver. But hey, he stuck having to lay out and stretch for every pass thrown in his direction. Shoot, now that tweet from Deshaun Watson has aged like fine wine. He said, if you take Mitchell Trubisky over me, you're going to have to live with the consequences. And man, dude, it's two teams that passed on Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Had they picked either one, probably would have won a title in 2017 or 2018. That's the Chicago Bears and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So let's say Jacksonville likes Deshaun. We take Deshaun, and the Bears like Mahomes, and they took Mahomes. With that defense, the Bears win the Super Bowl in probably 2017? Yeah, they win the Super Bowl in 2017. Because Deshaun, of course, eventually he tears his ACL in 2017, doesn't finish the year. So that derailed the Jaguars' hopes. But then he comes back in 2018 with roughly the same defense and Deshaun putting up crazy numbers. We probably won the title in 2018. But, hey, it is what it is. It's all a dream at this point, man. But let's switch gears, talk a little college football. Of course, the top teams, nothing really happened with the top teams except Tua Tagovailoa is hurt. And he has surgery, he has a high ankle sprain. It's the opposite foot from last year. And there's no timetable for his return, I guess. I have no faith in Mac Jones. Mac Jones is from Jacksonville. Well, I don't know where he's from, whether he was born here or not. But I know he went to school here in Jacksonville. He went to Bowles. And I saw him twice. He played against Raines High School, who my brother played for. And I saw him up close twice, in the regular season and in the playoffs. And I just wasn't impressed. Now, that was his senior year of high school. He's in his, sophomore year in college? I don't know. And then Talia, to his younger brother, he's not ready, so you're going to give it to Mac. But the good thing about it is Mac doesn't have to be Tua. He doesn't. With those doggone near four first-round receivers, with Najee Harris and a host of backs and a Nick Saban-led defense, do your job, play your game. Don't take risks. Punting is a good thing. Just don't turn the ball over. That's all he has to do. Now, Clemson blew out Louisville, but, man, your boy Trevor Lawrence is – I don't know what he's seeing. I don't know if he's trying to take too many chances or teams are confusing him or what, man, but he had to overcome another two interceptions. I mean, they won 45-10 because Clemson's defense is great. But, man, you're not going to be able to get away with that type of play against any of the top teams. And, of course, Ohio State keeps rolling. Justin Fields looks good. Oklahoma keeps rolling. My man Jalen Hurts. Well, now with Tua's going down now, Jalen Hurts is in the driver's seat for the Heisman. You got Joe Burrow for LSU is right behind him, but Jalen Hurts is in the driver's seat. And now I'm incredibly nervous for the Alabama-LSU game. I think it's two or three weeks from now. Because we got Arkansas Saturday, then they could bye the next Saturday, and then LSU the following Saturday. So, yeah, like 3 weeks from now. I'm not very confident about that game right now. I got to see Mac Jones. Even though Arkansas is Arkansas, it would really calm my nerve if he played well against Arkansas. But we'll see. And, man, what is Michigan going to do with Jim Harbaugh? Jim Harbaugh is like 0-9, 0-10 against top 10 teams. That is not good. And now rumors are swirling about him going to the NFL. The Atlanta job, the Redskins job. Now they're saying Adam Gase in New York with the Jets might be one and done. So there's that job. Jaguars job might be open at the end of this year. Who knows? So the rumors are swirling. And I wouldn't blame him if he got up out of Dodge once the season was over in Michigan. I'm definitely looking forward to this Florida-Georgia game. Come on, Georgia, I need you to do this for me. I told you, I'm a Gator hater. I need you to beat the brakes off of Florida. Get the Florida fans out of here, man. Get them off my page. Get them out of my life. I don't want to hear a peep from them the rest of the year. But I got a feeling that they're going to beat Georgia, man. I don't know why. I got this feeling that they're going to beat Georgia. It is what it is. Oh, man, and in Tallahassee, it looks like Willie Taggart is on his way out the door. And I think they should give him more time, but, hey, I'm not a Florida State fan, and there's a lot of Florida State fans. They want him out the paint, man. Get him out of here. Losing to Wake Forest, I think he lost 22-20, man. It's just, I mean, is it the talent? Is it Willie? Is it the coaching staff? I mean, they have some talented players, but it's not like he has a top 10 team that he's dragging through the mud right now. I don't know, man. I just want to see Willie succeed and think it might be coming to an end. But ladies and gentlemen, that is my time. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Sports is in full throat. You know, one thing we don't have going on right now is basketball. Well, college basketball. So, man, every night is going to be something to watch. So no more dead space. No more dead space. And ladies, let your man enjoy the game. You know, don't get all in your feelings when you're watching the game. I mean, you ain't got to be happy and, you know, all giddy when you're watching it, but don't make him feel bad by, you know, pouting and stuff like that. Just let the man enjoy the game. Life is hard. We only have a few pleasures and joys in this world. Let the man enjoy the game. But until next time, I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.